Our scripture reading is found in the book of Ephesians, verse 15 of chapter 5. And Paul writes this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debaucheries. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs for the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." The Lord bless his words to our hearts today. Well, this morning, I want to think about passion or renewal in our lives. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this former manager of the New York Yankees, and he told about a dream that he once had. And he said that as he was sleeping this dream, he was taken up to heaven, and there in heaven, he was commissioned to organize and manage a ball team there in heaven. And he said that he was overwhelmed by all the talent that was available to him. He said there was Rube Waddell and Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, all these great baseball players. And just when he was getting excited about that, the phone rang. And it was Satan on the line. And Satan said that he was calling to challenge the heavenly team to a game. And the manager said, "Well, you don't have a chance of winning." He said, "You see, I've got all the great players up here." And Satan said, "Oh, I know that, but I've got all the umpires." Well, you know, our world is full of greed and corruption. And in this morning's reading, Paul reminds us, he challenges us to renew our faith and life and take a really close look at the actions and the way we live our daily life. And with that in mind, to renew how we live. And so when we think about that, again, in context, we've been looking at this book of Ephesians with the lens of these four P's from leadership, which is that we have purpose. And Paul says God's overarching purpose, even though we're going through all this persecution and things happen in our life, we don't realize that God is bringing all things in heaven and earth under Christ, and that the salvation is the ultimate purpose in Christ. And then he says, you know, if you step back for a moment and look at the big picture, even though we're going through persecution, adversity, challenge, and difficulty, that God has really blessed us. God has revealed Christ to us, God has chosen us, and God will see us through. And he says this plan is that God, from the very beginning, had ordained that he would give us salvation in Christ through faith alone, in God's grace alone, in Christ alone, and that we can be part of that. And God was even reuniting everything under the church. And then finally, that God has made power available to us to bring all this together. And then we've looked at part to play. And so we're focusing this morning, as we continue this part to play. Last week, we talked about maturity and how important that is, and unity. And this morning, we're thinking about renewal, because Paul stops in the middle of this, and he begins to really challenge the people to how they live. And he uses two images for that sort of throughout this section. And the first image is to put off the old and to put on the new. And the second image is to let go of the life of darkness and put on the life of light. So this putting off the old and putting on the new and letting go of the life of darkness and putting on the life of light. And this is what he says, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 4. He says this. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." And so Paul uses this image of hardening of the hearts. And that image comes from the idea that our conscience tells us when we're doing something that's right. I mean, even little kids know when they're doing something that's wrong and when they're doing something right. And Paul says, if you know, the idea is you continually ignore this voice of your conscience, it begins to sort of callous and harden. And Paul says that this hardening of the heart can cause an overarching problem. He says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of grief. Then he goes on to say, use this imagery, he says this, "That, however, is not the way of life you have learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former self to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So this idea again, that to put off the old and to put on the new, that God has called us when we are saved in Christ, God has forgiven us and renewed, not just that forgiven us in the past, but given us a new heart to live our life and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, you know, what is the practical side of that? And so he walks through what is the practical, and it's sort of the imagery of it, but what's the practical? He goes through this list and he says this: therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speaking truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And then he goes on, more practical understanding. He said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to the needs, that it may be benefit for those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So in each of these cases, it isn't just sort of letting go of all these bad things. And he gives a list. It's all the way from the smaller things, you think just unwholesome talk, and maybe that doesn't matter, but Paul's saying it does, all the way to anger, bitterness, and all these kinds of things. But he's saying that there's a positive side that you have to put into your life. In other words, be compassionate, be kind, be caring. Put off the old and put on the new. And he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient to them. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Well, that's a long list of do nots, isn't it? I mean, probably all of us don't struggle with all those things, but I guarantee you that all of us have some area in there that we can work on. But it isn't just getting rid of these negative behaviors, it's also putting on the positive side of that. And so we look at that, and Paul's saying, listen, you just can't live as the Gentiles do. Now, Paul's not saying we're supposed to earn God's love in all this. What he's saying is, listen, God has forgiven you. God has redeemed your life. God has made a sacrifice in Christ and saved you by God's grace and forgiveness. Don't go back to the life that you had before. Live a life that honors Christ, and like children of God, as daughters and sons of God, then follow God. And you look at children and sons and daughters as they follow their parents, and they really take after their parents. Sometimes we probably don't want to admit that. But sometimes we see a fault in them, we could probably see the fault in ourselves. And so Paul's saying, listen, if you're children of God, then you ought to act like God as much as that's possible. And if you want to see what that looks like, then look at how Christ acted on day to day. Christ was loving, he was compassionate, he was forgiving, he was kind, he was giving, and all these things. And although we can never attain to the full measure of Christ, all of us can strive to follow Christ step by step, day by day. And when we do that, we're partners in God's picture, in God's kingdom, and we're walking behind Christ as we should. And what's the real key to that? I think Paul gives us the key to that in this final passage, which is that we're to have a kind of passion. As we said about that, you know, kind of thinking about going to a Pacers game or to a Purdue game or some other game that you really like. We fire up the passion, and it's not just about not doing the things that are wrong, but to really have a heart that's full of following God and to fire up our faith. And so when Savannah and I went to the Pacers game last Sunday, we had some tickets, and you know, people just go crazy for those games. Win or lose, people go crazy. They paint. There are people painted. They have like a shirt. They have, you know, guys with no shirts on, but they painted a shirt on them, different colors, and their faces were tattooed, and there was someone with this like transformer outfit. I was just amazed they could even put this thing together, like this transformer sitting in this in the stands, and people loved that. If you got onto the bus and saw someone like that, you'd think they were crazy and you'd want to run for cover. But you know, at a sports game, it's all up for grabs. You can have all this passion and it's great. And I don't put any of that down because I love that too. I don't paint my face and all that, but you know, I can cheer and all that. But the truth is that we could use a little more passion in our faith life. You may not want to come with tattoos and paint your body for Sunday worship. It'd be nice to get a little extreme now and then. I don't think you ever have to worry about offending us because you know we've never even come close. So, but to put that passion into it, we used to have these revivals and people would get pumped up by that. And I think there's really something practical because even though the revival may sort of wear off after a while, we all need to sort of pump up the fire of our faith and our passion. And we do that through singing and reading the Bible. And Paul saying, listen, have some passion in your life for faith. You've got passion for all these other things in your life. Have some positive passion for faith and dignity of life. And he says this. He says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention that the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illumined becomes light. That is why it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In other words, you know, just wake up, everybody, not just as Christ was resurrected, but from day to day. Get out of your rut, get out of sort of the rut that you're in and living, and live a fresh life of faith. Remember, these people were saved some time ago, and they're going through persecution, and adversity and difficulty and challenges have a way of wearing us down. And even if we're following Christ faithfully, just suck the energy out of you. And Paul says, you know, there's a time to sort of fire up your faith, and that sort of gives you a fresh encouragement. And we can't just do that by ourselves. When we come together, we can encourage each other and sort of fire each other up. And Paul says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And sometimes people think, well, what's the Lord's will? It's so hard to find it. And it's true sometimes in decisions that we make. But Paul gives this word of what the Lord's will is to everyone. He says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, so get rid of the negative, but put on the passion and the positive. He says this, instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when we speak psalms and hymns to one another, and we sing, we're not only singing to the Lord, we're also singing to encourage one another. The sister and brother who's going through some difficult, maybe it's an illness in their family, maybe it's financial matters, maybe it's relationships, or they lost a loved one, and sometimes just listening to those hymns just inspires and lifts us and moves us in a way that, you know, I hope the message touches everyone, but sometimes it's that song. Sometimes it's the person sitting next to you, and we all have a ministry of that, and Paul's saying, you know, get rid of the behavior that's wrong and you know it's not right. Live a pure life, but live a life that's passionate. And again, let me read this. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday was a famous revival preacher back in the early part of the 20th century, and he went all over the country doing these revivals, and he was a baseball player. And he was famous because he'd do these things where he'd slide down the aisle. And I have yet not to do this, but you know, he said, don't just sort of walk home to the Lord, because you need to slide into home with passion. So he'd slide down the aisle. So that got people's attention. But he was very famous for that. And then some lady came up to him one day and said, you know, why do you keep having revivals when it doesn't last? That's a good question. Why do you keep having revivals if it doesn't last? You know, because people get fired up from revivals and they kind of cool down and get back and then they get fired back up again. And Billy Sunder looked right at her and said, why do you keep taking baths? And that's true. There's a lot of part of our lives that is a daily routine and is a ritual. You know, why do we keep celebrating Christmas? Why do we keep celebrating Easter? You know, there needs to be a part of our life set up where we're going to fire up our faith and be passionate about that. Lots of time where we think about being somber and prayerful, but there's a part of Lent that really is, you know, listen, get your faith, fire, and intensify it. And Paul's saying that's what we need. That's the most important part of that. If you look throughout the Bible, there's a number of places, particularly throughout the Old Testament, where there were revivals. And people went through this rhythm where they followed the Lord and then they kind of gradually slipped away. Their behavior became not what it should be. It got so low that, you know, God's judgment started to come. And then they sought God and then God poured out the abundance of blessing and revival came. And some of those places are, if you look in under David's reign, in 1 Chronicles, you can see there is a revival in David's time. Under Asa, who was one of the kings, in 1 Kings, there was a revival under King Asa. Elijah was one of the great prophets of God, and Elijah sort of called down fire and called people to follow him. He confronted a wicked queen, a wicked ruler, and called it a revival, and the people had a revival. Under Jehoshaphat, one of the kings of Israel, there was a revival. Hezekiah, another king who was a very godly king, called people to revival. Josiah, again, another king of Israel, there was a revival under Josiah. Under Jeremiah, the great prophet, just before God's judgment came in, Jeremiah spent a lot of his time sort of calling the people to prevent judgment from coming from when Babylon swept through and destroyed Israel and led them to captivity. But even as they were being led to captivity, Jeremiah called to the people to rent their hearts before God, and God would instill their lives with a new faith. Under Laman, Hosea, the prophet, Hosea and the minor prophets, and Habakkuk, and then also in John, the Gospel of John really talks a little bit about revival. Probably the last gospel we believe that was written, and John comes back and he kind of adds some things of it, really from Jesus' words, and emphasizes kind of this revival renewal, this passion for of Jesus. And so when you think about revival in our life or passion in life, what are some practical ways that we can fire up our faith, if you will? Well, I think, first of all, is to pray. I mean, not just the Lord's Prayer during the service, though that's important, not just a prayer before meals, but to linger in prayer, to wrestle in prayer, as Jacob did in the Bible, to really get down before God. And people used to talk about just living a life of prayer, and to maybe you can't take an hour of the day and just do solid prayer, but you and I, while we're driving, don't close your eyes, but you can leave your eyes open and pray. Sometimes what we're doing at work, we can take a moment and we can pray for people, we can pray for God's revival. We can ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what guides us, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, hope, peace, and joy. So all these positive things that Paul is talking about. And we can read the Bible. And not do it like a race. You know, sometimes you're reading the Bible and say, well, I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses a day, and it's like a prayer. You just race through it. Well, just to linger and then read the Bible. I'm doing this, read the Bible in a year. And so I kind of listen to the Bible, and I also read the Bible, and just try to really, each part, an Old Testament part, a New Testament part, or a psalm and a proverb, but just saturate your life with God's will. And then each and every day to try to touch someone's life in a positive way. Maybe it's the cashier at the cash register that's checking you out. Maybe it's a person helping you at the store. Just have a moment. Maybe it's a student if you're a teacher. Maybe it's a coworker that's going through a difficulty. Try to touch their life in a positive way. I think Christian music, whatever kind of music you listen to, there's no right music, wrong music. If it's contemporary music, or if it's quartet music, or if it's classical music, whatever it is, listen to Christian music to really allow that to lift up your heart and to allow that to really touch your heart and life. It's funny, a Lutheran bishop once noticed that in California they were trying to have this big emphasis on renewal, and so he went into this church, and on the wall was this big orange and red banner that said, "Come Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Come Holy Spirit, hallelujah." And there was a big flame across that sign. And ironically, right below it, they positioned was a fire extinguisher. Now, that was just a practical matter. But, you know, subtly in our lives sometimes, isn't that the truth? I mean, in big letters, we have this, "Come Holy Spirit." But maybe just practically in our life, we got a little fire extinguisher of our own that we're going to put out anything that gets out of control. Listen, God will never have you do something that's going to bring shame to your life. Know this, that God loves each and every one of us, and if we surrender our lives to the passion and power of the Holy Spirit, we'll never be happy in all of our lives. And Paul is saying here, listen, you all have a part to play. You all have gifts and talents that God has given you. You can be part of this great plan of salvation, not that just that you would be saved, that we can bring the message of good news to other people that God has ordained from the very part. And if you have maturity and if you work together in unity as a team, but you've got to have passion. How many times have we been to a sports game and maybe we see a talented player out there on a football field or on the basketball court, and it's the most talented player. But maybe that day they're just not bringing their passion, they're not bringing their A game, and they're not playing up to their potential. It's past halftime and into the last part of the game, and finally the coach just pulls out that really talented player that doesn't have their passion to it and puts in a younger, less talented player, and that player goes out there and that player is full of passion, and maybe they make a few mistakes, but they bring so much passion to the game that they play above their level and they bring the whole team to a new level, and that team comes from behind and wins. And that's how important passion is. And Paul's saying, listen, you're part of the team too. And God has given you gifts and talents, but you're not going to be at your full measure. And the team's not going to be all that that team can be unless we all bring our positive passion to the game. And if we do, then I think we'll be like Paul, who ended his life by saying this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have hoped and longed for his appearing. Just read that again and just ask yourself if these are the words that you'll be able to say the last day of your life, your dying breath, will you be able to say this? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award for me on that day. Would that we'll all have passion so we can play our part with all that we have. And God's church can be all that it can be. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to serve you as a team, as a church. Thank you that we all have gifts and talents and a part to play. But Lord, help us to fire up our faith and have the kind of positive passion that really brings everything we have to you. And one of the great things it brings is the joy that's deep in our hearts and a joy that spills over through the Holy Spirit. We pray each and every day we'll follow you with a positive passion. We pray this through your power and to your glory. Amen.